Bats, Benji said.
Relax, Josh said. They eat insects.
And suck your blood, Benji said.
That's vampire bats, Jaden said. They're in South America. You don't have anything to worry about. Stop being a pain.
Bats have rabies, Benji said insistently as he inched away. Rabies can kill you. You go mad and start foaming at the mouth. Then you're racked with pain until you go stiff and just croak. I saw it in a movie.
Leto, Josh said, yanking him back. We're not leaving. You want to go, you go ahead. But I'm not going without that envelope. We're supposed to play for the national championship tomorrow night, and I'm not going to let this creep ruin it for us.
Well, Benji said, we're just sitting here. It's not going to fly out the window at us.
Okay, Josh said, making up his mind. Cell phones out, everyone. Jaden, you can conference with yours, right?
Yeah,
she said. So you tie us all in together, Josh said.
Everybody put their phone on vibrate first.
They did, and Jaden then linked them all onto the same call. Good, Josh said, sneaking a look at the big, gloomy house.
Okay, now look around for a piece of metal or something. I need something to help me pry that screen off.
They fished around in the grass, and near the house, Jaden came up with an old metal bracket.
Good, Josh said, hefting the rusty metal. Okay, after you guys help me through the window, Benji, you watch the front door. Jaden, you watch the back. If either of you sees anything, you let me know on the phone.
This is like breaking and entering,
Jaden said in a low whisper as they stepped up beneath the window.
Then we take the money? We could go to jail.
We're not stealing it, Josh said, looking up at the sagging screen. We're investigating corruption. Stealing is when you take something and you plan on keeping it. That's not what we're doing. We're going to borrow it to show the people who run the tournament that it's the same envelope Myron gave to Seavers. If they don't believe the video, their fingerprints are all over that thing. Now you guys boost me up.
What about Seavers?
Jaden asked, nodding her head toward the back of the big old house.
He's half in the bag, Josh said in a whisper. If the roof fell on him, he wouldn't notice. But if he does get up, one of you will see him and we'll all run like heck.
Benji looked up at the window, shook his head, and said,
This is bad.
This is so bad.
Bad is what they're doing, Josh said. Robbing kids of a chance to win a championship, or my dad the chance for a long-term sponsorship. That's bad. That's stealing, not this. Hurry up and help me here.
Jaden and Benji each cupped their hands together and bent down so Josh could step into them. Then they raised him up so that he could pry the screen loose, drop the bracket down into the grass, and slither inside. He slipped and thumped to the bedroom floor, dizzy with fear for a moment before he scrambled up and gave them a thumbs up, pointing to his phone, then silently directing each of them toward the front and back of the house. He watched them disappear, then turned back into the room. The light next to the bed cast a yellow glow over musty sheets and stained pillows. Josh moved carefully toward the dresser where he'd seen the envelope of money. He was only halfway there when Benji screamed. Chapter 47. Josh bolted to the dresser, grabbed, and felt the envelope in his fingers. He spun, leaped across the room, threw the envelope out the window and into the night, then quickly scrambled out of the window himself before falling in a heap on the grass.
What happened? Josh asked in a frightened hiss as he got to his feet.
Benji ran toward him from the front, swatting the air over his head. Then he tripped and fell to the ground, still screaming. The bat that had swooped down and fluttered about his head zigzagged off into the trees.
Benji, it's gone, Josh said, grabbing two handfuls of Benji's SpongeBob t-shirt and hauling him to his feet.
What happened?
Jaden said, hissing as she appeared from the back.
Benji got attacked by a bat,
Josh said, also in an urgent whisper. Jaden looked down, scooped up the envelope from the grass, and said,
Let's get the heck out of here.
Benji yelped again, and Josh scowled at him in disgust.
I told you, Josh said, looking around above Benji's head. The bat's gone. Be quiet.
Benji's face had gone white, and it glowed at them in the darkness like a pale moon. He raised a finger, pointing behind them, past the graveyard, and toward the front of the house.
It's him, Benji said, trembling.
Josh spun around and gasped. Seavers stood there, bare-chested and wearing nothing but a pair of blue and white striped pajama bottoms with his frizzy gray hair sticking up like a maniac. That's not what made Josh gasp, though. The umpire was carrying a shotgun. His mouth barely moved as he said,
You kids don't move. Not a muscle.
Chapter 48
Run!
Jaden screamed. Josh didn't think. He jumped, and when his feet hit the ground, they took off like three jackrabbits running for cover. The blast of the shotgun only made him run faster. He felt the hot rush of pellets swooshing overhead and hissing on through the night. He glanced left and right as he tore through the trees and down the grassy lawn, following Jaden and seeing Benji over his left shoulder, moving like he'd never seen him move before. All three of them careened down the hill toward the river. Their momentum and their instincts carried them, running straight away from the house and the dark woods and the graveyard and the crazy umpire with the shotgun. But when they reached the dock, they clustered together in the shadow of the slatboard boathouse. Josh peered around the corner, his hands on the trim and breaking off flakes of paint brittle with age.
Is he coming?
Benji asked.
What do we do? Swim?
He is coming, Josh said, terror clutching his insides.
But he's moving slow.
Josh turned, forced open the door, and stepped into the boathouse, which smelled of dead fish and tar. The moon in the open sky above the river shed enough light through the wide opening for them to see. Josh pointed and said,
There's a boat.
Actually, there were two boats, a small aluminum rowboat with an outboard motor in the nearest slip, and a long, thin wedge of a speedboat with fat chrome pipes suspended in a lift above the water of the second slip.
Are you nuts?
Benji said.
This guy's trying to kill us. He shot at us.
So we've got nothing to lose, Josh said, crouching down beside the nearest slip and loosening the lines that held the small motorboat in place.
Come on!
Jaden hopped down into the boat, and its aluminum side clanged against the pier. As Benji scrambled in, the boat tipped, and Jaden almost toppled over the side.
Easy,
she said, but Benji paid no attention as he fiddled with the motor. Josh ducked back outside and peeked around the corner. The ump was halfway down the lawn, coming along slow but steady, the shotgun nestled in his arms. Josh darted back inside, slammed the door shut, then leaped into the boat. Benji pulled the cord, but the ancient motor only sputtered. Jaden threw up her hands and turned to Josh with a look of exasperation and fear.
Benji, Josh said, yank that thing with all your might!
Benji tottered, but gripped the rubber handle and pulled the cord hard. The motor sputtered, then died. Outside, the old guy shouted,
You thieves! I'll kill you!
A shotgun blast roared, and a spray of pellets thrashed the side of the boathouse. Benji flew into the bottom of the boat.
Oh no! Benji whined, squirming. I'm hit! I'm swimming in my own blood!
Josh hauled him up and said,
It's motor oil! He hit the wall! Get us out of here!
Benji turned and yanked the cord again. They heard the thump of the old guy's footsteps outside on the dock and the distinctive clatter of a fresh round being pumped into the shotgun's chamber. The motor sputtered and coughed. Benji hammered the choke lever up and down. Blue smoke erupted from the motor. The door kicked open. The motor caught and roared to life. Chapter 49
Benji fumbled with the controls. Josh shoved him aside, taking over and slamming the outboard into reverse. The boat lurched backward. Jaden spilled over the seat and fell, her arms pinwheeling. Benji grabbed the back of her collar and tugged hard, keeping her from going over the edge while the boat shot backward out into the river. They swerved back and forth, rocking wildly, but Josh kept the boat moving and heading away from the crazy old guy with his shotgun. Jaden gripped the boat's sides and steadied herself in the bottom beside Benji. Josh looked back at the shrinking shape of the boathouse and saw the sudden flash of orange light in the mouth of its dark opening. The shotgun blast followed it an instant later, as did the eruption of water off the starboard side of the motorboat. Josh swerved suddenly, backing around but nearly tipping the boat. He glanced down at Jaden, then slammed the gear lever into forward. It clanked and roared, and they took off like a rocket, down the narrow river outlet and out toward the lake. When they reached the open water, even though the boathouse had already disappeared from sight, Josh kept going. The moon had ducked behind some clouds, and he drove straight for the empty darkness in the middle of the lake for another 5 or 10 minutes before he slowed the boat and let the motor idle.
"Is everyone okay?" he asked.
"Only thanks to my extra padding that broke the fall,"
Benji said, smacking his backside. They all laughed and realized that while none of them was hurt, they were all trembling.
"You should have seen your face," Josh said to Benji.
"You should have seen yours, dude," Benji said.
Josh pointed at Benji's yellow bathing suit and said,
"Dude, did you pee your pants?"
Benji looked down, and even in the weak light of the stars, his face clearly went red as he slapped at his suit.
"I got splashed by motor oil," Benji said. "You know I did."
"I don't know anything," Josh said, teasing.
"Dude, you so do."
"I know,"
Josh said, patting Benji on the back as he turned his attention to Jaden and the envelope she held clutched to her chest.
"Well, we got the proof. What now?"
"Let's get this thing into the marina and get the shuttle bus back to the camp," Jaden said, pointing toward the lights of town. "Bob Costas gave me his card when I met him the other night. If someone big like him breaks his story, the rest will take care of itself."
Jaden's face grew somber.
"Once we do, though, they'll know it was us who took the money. Technically, we broke into that guy's house."
"And technically," Josh said, "he tried to kill us."
"There was nothing technical about it," Benji said. "He flat out tried."
"Maybe he was shooting over our heads," Jaden said. "Either way, everything that happened back there is going to be a wash. He's not going to press charges if we don't."
"That guy should be locked up,"
Benji said, his voice cracking.
"Relax," Josh said. "Jaden's right. Let's go for the wash. We don't need any trouble either."
The distant drone of an engine buzzed toward them like a wasp caught in a curtain. Josh froze.
"Hey, what's that?"
They all looked back in the direction they'd come from. Surging up out of the mouth of the river was another set of lights, one red and one white, the lights of a boat. In seconds it became a roar, and Josh remembered the boat with the chrome pipes suspended in the boathouse. The piercing scream of the speedboat's chrome pipes were the source of the noise. A sharp beam of white light burst suddenly from the nose of the speedboat and swept back and forth across the lake's rippled surface, heading their way.
"Hurry!"
Jaden shouted above the scream of the speedboat.
"He gets us in that light, and we'll never get away!"
Chapter 50 Jaden pointed toward the marina and shouted,
"Go!"
Josh opened the throttle as wide as it would go, willing the small boat to move faster. He scowled at the spray the bow plowed up in front of them, then grabbed Benji by the collar and tugged him toward the stern, allowing the nose to rise higher above the water's surface so the boat could go even faster. Wind whipped their ears and the lake slapped the metal skin of the boat. Jaden shouted for Josh to hurry, pointing back at the lights of the speedboat racing toward them and closing a lot of distance. The lights of town and the marina grew closer, but not fast enough.
"Hurry!" Benji yelled. "I'm going as fast as I can!" Josh shouted. "He's going to get us!"
The white light darted across the water, close enough now for Josh to see the storm of bugs in its beam. The rodent of fear in his stomach morphed into a snarling pit bull, and he thought he'd be sick. When the light hit them, it blinded Josh, and he automatically fell into the bottom of the boat, plastering his arm across his face to shield his eyes, crying out in pain and shock. Unmanned, their boat swerved. Josh heard the distant, ear-splitting pipes of the speedboat. He peeked out from under his arm to see the speedboat taking a new angle, one that would cut them off from the marina. When their boat lurched again, Josh was shocked to see that Jaden had gotten behind him and grabbed the controls. But instead of heading for town, she was going directly for the Otisaga. All Josh's fears and suspicions came back to him in a gush. He blinked in confusion and horror. He couldn't make sense of it. Why would Jaden take them right into the thick of the Mullins? They needed to get as far away from Myron and Mickey and his entourage as possible. But here she was, going straight for them and their big barbecue. Above the noise, he yelled,
"What the heck are you doing?"
Chapter 51. Out on the hotel's sloping back lawn, hundreds of people sat at rows of tables under the flickering glow of oil lamps on posts stuck into the grass. The Grand Hotel rose up in the background, muting the star-filled night with row after row of twinkling windows. The closer their boat got, the more people rose up out of their seats and migrated toward the shore as if drawn to the incoming beam from the spotlight like a colony of half-human moths. Above the seating area, on a small stage, Mickey Mullen stood in an open-collar shirt and jeans, holding a microphone.
"What are you doing?"
Josh bellowed again, grabbing Jaden by the shoulder, only to be swatted away.
"We'll crash!"
Jaden's mouth seemed frozen in a maniacal grin, her teeth flashing in the beam of light. Josh yelled for Benji to hang on as he gripped the sides of the boat himself. No sooner did he have a hold than they ground up onto the stony beach with a screech of metal. The impact jarred his spine, and his teeth clacked. Finally, they jerked to a halt. Just off the shore, the ear-splitting speedboat roared in after them. At the last instant, it cut the white light, swung about, and rocketed back out onto the empty lake, leaving a 3-foot wave in its wake. Before Josh could say anything, Jaden jumped out of the boat and raced up the hill toward the stage with the envelope in her hand. Josh followed, with Benji close behind. As Jaden neared the steps to the stage, Myron's ape-like figure appeared from the gloom of the lawn above. In his hand was a cell phone. He shouted into it as he pointed toward Jaden. Josh stumbled, unable to believe what he saw. Myron reached out for the envelope and said,
"Good job, Jaden. I'll take that."
Chapter 52. Jaden looked at Myron and said,
"Oh, no, you won't."
She clutched the envelope and stepped back. Benji bumped into Josh and Josh into Jaden. He put his arm in front of her, stepping between her and Myron.
"Leave her alone," Josh said.
"You stole this!"
Myron shouted. Josh felt Myron's other hand grip him by the collarbone and probe beneath the bone for a jiu-jitsu pressure point. Josh saw stars when Myron hit the nerve and he crumpled to the grass, paralyzed with pain. Myron ripped the envelope from Jaden's hands. As Josh's eyes adjusted and he struggled to get up, he saw Benji grab a plastic bottle of something off the nearest table and run toward Myron.
"Have some hot sauce, Myron!"
Benji shouted, squirting the fiery red liquid into Myron's face. Myron screamed and pawed at his eyes, dropping the envelope, spinning and tripping and going down hard on the grass. Jaden grabbed the envelope and leaped over Myron. She sprinted to the stage, landing on the third stair and continuing on up the stage and into the floodlights around the podium. Josh skirted around Myron and followed. Benji stayed behind to blast Myron's face with another dose of red-hot sauce. Myron screamed so loud that Mickey Mullen's jaw dropped. Jaden snatched the microphone from Mickey and, before he could react, retreated behind Josh, using him as a shield. Then she turned to the crowd that now gawked up at the stage.
"I have to tell everyone that this is the money Mickey Mullen gave to the umpire of tomorrow's championship game," she shouted, holding the envelope up for everyone to see. "We've got a video, too, of Myron Underwood handing the cash to Justin Seavers, the umpire. We can prove it."
The crowd murmured in shock. Mickey Mullen stepped forward and took hold of the envelope. Jaden dropped the microphone and tried to hang on, but the Mick yanked it free. He hadn't taken another step before Josh got a grip on it, though. Josh and Mickey Mullen tugged back and forth until the envelope tore and stacks of money spilled to the stage. Josh knelt and grabbed a stack, only to have Mickey Mullen step on his hand, pinning it to the floor. When Bob Costas rose from his seat at a table in front and stepped up onto the stage, Josh felt as if he'd been in a dream.
"That's it," Bob Costas said, holding up his hands. "Let him go, or you'll all be front page news."
Josh watched, fascinated, as Mickey Mullen's snarl transformed into a slick, toothy smile. Chapter 53.
"Of course I'll let him go," Mickey Mullen said, lifting his foot and broadening his smile before he picked up the microphone and spoke to the crowd. "This is an outrage, and I want to know what happened as much as anyone else."
"Jaden," Bob Costas said, "can I see the video you're talking about?"
Jaden stepped forward, punched up the video, then held out her cell phone as she asked, "If you write a story, can I help?"
"Sure," Bob Costas said.
"Please,"
Mickey Mullen said politely, speaking into the microphone as he looked over Bob Costas' shoulder.
"I had no idea about any of this. If it's true, then Myron Underwood is finished."
Josh got to his feet as Bob Costas looked up from the video and said to Mickey Mullen,
"It looks pretty clear that your man tried to fix the championship game."
"Unbelievable," Mickey Mullen said, shaking his head sadly. "It's despicable. But we stopped it, thank goodness."
Bob Costas studied the actor's face before nodding slowly.
"Yeah, thank goodness."
"I think this girl deserves a reward,"
Mickey Mullen said into the microphone, appealing to the crowd.
"What do you think, everyone? How about a college scholarship from the Mickey Mullen Foundation for Kids for the young lady who preserved the integrity of this great event?"
People cheered, and Mickey Mullen nodded with satisfaction, directing his grin now at Jaden and Josh. Benji appeared with a rib in one hand, licking the other free from hot sauce.
"Man," Benji said, "this stuff is smoking. I think it's got chili peppers in it."
"Where's Myron?" Josh asked. Benji jerked his head in the direction of the hotel.
"He took off, but I don't think he's getting very far."
Josh heard an enormous splash from the direction of the pool.
"One way to rinse the hot sauce out of your eyes," Benji said, biting into the rib.
"Mickey," Bob Costas said in a low tone that Josh could barely hear, "why would your guy have done this?"
Mickey stood with his mouth open for a minute, and Josh could practically see the wheels turning in his brain before he leaned toward Bob Costas' ear and said,
"He wanted a part in my next movie. He was desperate to be an actor. Really desperate. When I told him I didn't think it could happen, he gave me this funny smile and said he had some information that he knew would make me change my mind. I hate to say it, Bob,
but now I see the guy was obviously going to blackmail me into getting a part.
Bob Costas studied the baseball legend for a few moments, then cleared his throat, and nodding slowly said, "I think I understand." Then he turned and walked off the stage. Josh and his friends caught up to the announcer as he ascended the grassy lawn toward the hotel.
"Mr. Costas," Josh said, "you don't believe him, do you?"
Bob Costas stopped and gave Josh the same thoughtful stare he'd given to Mickey Mullen. Finally, he shook his head and said, "No, I don't."
"Then we'll write the story?"
Jaden asked. "No," Bob Costas said, "I don't think we will, Jaden."
"But you have to," Josh said. "You have to expose him for the phony, cheating rat that he is."
"I know how you feel," Bob Costas said, "but he's got a pretty tight story that explains all this away. As much as I'd like to take a cheater down, a good reporter won't go out with a story unless he or she is 100% certain." Josh hung his head. "But don't worry," Bob Costas said, patting Josh on the shoulder. "Most times, guys like him get it in the end. Trust me, you can't do things like that forever without getting caught up in your own lies sooner or later. And when he does, maybe Jaden and I can write that story together. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got a radio show I need to get to. Good luck to you guys tomorrow. I'll be there."
They watched the announcer continue on toward the hotel.
"At least you got a scholarship out of it," Josh said in a mutter to Jaden.
"Ha!" Benji said, tossing the chewed-up rib bone over his shoulder. "Fat chance of that. I'll bet your scholarship goes the way of my Mickey Mullen ice cream cone. All talk. Did I hear my name?"
They turned to see Mickey Mullen standing there in the grass, talking heatedly to his PR lady, Ms. Simmons. Josh could only glare at them.
"Doesn't matter, really," Mickey Mullen said, lowering his voice. "You chumps are still going to finish second tomorrow, umpire or no umpire. Now get out of here before I call hotel security. This is a private party."
Chapter 54. When Josh's parents asked them about the party, they told half the truth and nothing but half the truth. They'd all decided on the shuttle bus back to the camp that mentioning the shotgun blasts would create more trouble than any of them wanted. Still, even without certain details, they were able to tell a convincing enough tale about the video, the money, and Mickey Mullen's accusation of Myron on stage so that Josh's parents were nearly as certain as they were that Mickey Mullen himself had tried to fix the game.
"Incredible," Josh's dad said, shaking his head, his mouth agog in disbelief. "Why didn't you tell me about all this sooner, Josh?"
Josh shifted uncomfortably in the little wooden chair that sat facing the musty couch in the cabin's small living room. He looked down at his feet and shrugged.
"There must have been a reason," his dad said, his voice rumbling in a way that let Josh know he had better give a good answer.
"Well," Josh said, "right from the start, that Myron said he'd ruin you, Dad. He talked about how Mickey Mullen had the media eating out of his hand and said that if I opened my mouth, they'd get them to do a big story on you and make you look really bad."
Josh's dad shook his head.
"I don't care how the media makes me out, Josh."
Josh kept his head down. Quietly, he said, "They were going to talk about how you never made it, Dad. They said bad things. I know all that bothers you." Josh glanced up to see his dad give his mom a weak smile and take her hand in his own giant paw.
"Your dad played 13 years as a pro," his mom said softly. "Yeah, he never made it to the big leagues. But there are some guys in the big leagues who only play a year or two. And how do you think they feel? They wish they had more. People talk about athletes who are winners. Someone who does his best, goes as far as he can, and isn't ashamed or frightened of the things he didn't do, that's a winner."
Josh looked up. This time, he nodded.
"And," Benji said somberly from his rocking chair in the corner of the room, "it's all about scoring. because the team who scores the most points always wins.
Oh, brother, Josh said. Don't forget what your mom said when you're playing tomorrow, Josh. His dad said, ignoring Benji. You play your best. Enjoy being there. It's a huge accomplishment just to get to Cooperstown. Think of what you had to go through with your eye, that surgery. And we have a great team. If we lose, then that's what was meant to be. Just do your best. His mom and dad traded looks. Then his dad patted his mom on the leg.
Come on, Laura. Let's go take a walk. Josh can listen for the baby if she gets up. Right, Josh?
Sure, he said. You guys go. Josh watched them leave, clasping hands as they walked down the porch steps and out under the starry sky. How about a couple sodas? Benji asked. Hey, why the gloomy face? Just thinking about what he said, Josh said.
Yeah, Benji said. Your dad's a sharp cookie. Whatever's meant to be, right? We just let it happen and enjoy the whole thing. I love that.
No, Josh said. He's not right. Not about that. We can't just let it happen, Benji. We've got to win this thing tomorrow. And I'm not talking about winning it for us. I can't let Mickey Mullen think that he gets whatever he wants, like he's acting in some movie and we're all just a bunch of extras. We've got to win this thing. We've got to win it for my dad.
Chapter 55. The championship game took place on the main field in the center of Dream Park. The Titans bus dropped them off outside a battered green door in the side of the cinder block field house where they were allowing the semifinalists to change and prepare. The locker room smelled like damp socks and dried mud. Josh examined his face in the mottled mirror and traced the scar beneath his eye as he pondered his mother's words from the night before.
You ready?
Benji asked, patting him on the back. Josh washed his hands and nodded without speaking. Josh's dad called them together, speaking in his soft, rumbling thunder voice.
Okay, he said, looking around at each of them. Everyone knows by now that the Mick tried to buy off the umpire. Well, we think he did anyway. But that's over. Don't lose your focus. The Mullen kid is still going to be the best pitcher we've seen. He throws more heat than anyone, but he's not perfect, and I know a way we can beat him.
Josh shifted and looked around. The rest of the team stared at his father as if they were in a trance. He could tell they all believed in his dad, and Josh did too.
He throws heat, but he's a little on the wild side, his dad said. That's how we beat him. With our brains. We make him throw more pitches than he wants. First of all, he's pitched 2 entire games already this week, which is a lot. Second, the games he's pitched, the ump was giving him one heck of a big strike zone. After everything that's happened and everyone talking, that won't happen with the ump we'll get today. So, we wear him out. We make him throw 8 to 10 pitches for every batter. Don't worry about hitting it early on. Just guard the plate. Get a piece of the ball. A foul is going to be like gold for us. It might not seem like it, but by the end, we'll have him worn out. And if I know Mickey Mullen, the dad, he's not going to pull his kid out, even if he's struggling. Trust me, guys. Hang in, protect the plate, and we'll get them in the end.
After a crisp cheer led by Josh's dad, they burst out of the locker room and took the field. Wind snapped at the pennants atop the stadium's flagpoles, and sunshine spilled down through a high haze of fish-scale clouds. A hint of popcorn and cotton candy floated on the breeze along with the buzz of the growing crowd in the stands. The sight of TV cameras up in the top row of the bleachers and behind home plate made Josh's stomach roll. Jaden, her dad and Josh's mom sat right behind the Titans' dugout, and they all offered him a thumbs up. Josh refused to look at Mickey Mullen or Mickey Jr. Instead, he lost himself in the pregame ritual of their pepper drill and warm-up swings. With his hat over his heart, Josh felt a thrill as he heard the Star-Spangled Banner. When the music ended,
He pulled his cap on tight and turned to Benji.
This is it. Can you believe it? Everything we went through. And now we're really here.
And they're here, too, Benji said, pointing up to a section in the crowd where more than a dozen college coaches sat clustered together to scout the talent.
Let's do it, Benji, Josh said, holding out a fist for Benji to bump. We got an even field. No cheating. No tricks. Just baseball.
The mayor of Cooperstown stepped out to the pitcher's mound and announced the beginning of the first ever Hall of Fame National Championship game. The crowd cheered, and the Titans did too, as they dashed out onto the field. Josh planted his heels on the lip of grass between second and third, then rocked forward with his toes in the dirt, bent over and ready for anything. Anything was what he got. The Comets could hit, and they kept the Titans busy in the field. Even with stellar defense that included two double plays through 5.5 innings, the Titans found themselves down 5-3 going into the bottom of the final inning. Mickey Jr. had given up just 4 hits, a single to Esch and a home run to Josh in the first, along with a double by Josh in the third that sent a runner in to score before Mickey Jr. closed out the inning. The only bright side going into their last at-bat was that the Titans were at the top of their order. Josh's dad called the team together. Jaden had moved into the dugout with her pen and pad, and she took notes as Josh's father spoke.
Okay, this is it, he said,
kneeling down in front of them as they clustered together in the dugout.
This is right where we said we'd be. We can do it. But you've got to believe. Don't let Mullen intimidate you. He's not the same pitcher he was in the first inning. Trust me, his arm is going. He's worn out. I know he's only given up 4 hits, but even when we've struck out, we made him throw more pitches than is good for him. You did your job up until now. Now we finish this thing. First 3 guys, get on base. Josh, you clean it up. Okay, bring it in. Believe on 3. 1, 2, 3. Believe!
Chapter 56. Esch was their leadoff batter, and the first 2 pitches Mickey Jr. threw had so much heat that Esch could only blink as they burned right by him down the middle. Esch stepped back out of the box with an 0-2 count and looked over at Josh's dad. His dad held up a clenched fist and nodded for him to hang in. Esch took a deep breath and stepped up. The next 2 pitches went wild. When the 3rd pitch went just high and inside, Mickey Mullen shot out of the Comets' dugout, screaming at the umpire when he called it a ball. The umpire was a huge man with a thick bull neck. The rumor around the park was that he was a college umpire the tournament had brought up from New York City. The ump held up his meaty hands as he warned Mickey Mullen that another tirade would be his last. Esch stepped back into the box. The 3-2 pitch came, right down the middle. Esch swung over it but managed to nick it just enough so that it dribbled down the third base line. The catcher threw off his mask and scrambled for it. Esch took off like a shot and made it safely just as the catcher's throw made it to first.
Good thing they don't own the ump, Jaden muttered to Josh after the cheering in their dugout subsided.
The next Titans batter went down, but it took Mickey Jr. 11 pitches to do it, and Josh could see that his dad was right. The balls didn't have the heat they had before. Far from it. The batter before Josh got up and hit a single over the shortstop's head, putting 2 on base with just 1 out. Josh cheered from the batter's circle, then puffed out his cheeks and blew a gust of air. Jaden and Benji both gave him a thumbs up. His dad stepped out of the dugout to slap him on the back and tell him to swing big. Josh nodded, then walked up to the plate and planted his feet in the batter's box. That's when Mickey Mullen, the dad, jogged out to the mound. Chapter 57. The father and son talked back and forth at the bottom of the mound. Mickey's cheeks seemed to pinch at his eyes as he spat out a tirade of angry words at his son that Josh couldn't quite make out. Mickey Jr. didn't slouch. He stood tall and looked evenly at his famous father and shook his head no. Mickey Mullen's face went red, and Josh heard the words, "You'll walk him if I tell you to walk him, or you'll walk home to California." The father turned and stomped back to the dugout. Mickey Jr. climbed the mound. Josh stared out at Mickey Jr. and saw something that surprised him. Mickey Jr. held his head high with defiance. Josh set his feet, gritted his teeth, and cranked back his bat, ready for the pitch. Mickey Jr. wound up, and when the ball left his hand, Josh knew it was a changeup. He read it perfectly, right down the middle, and swung with everything he had. It was too much. Josh pulled the ball well outside the third base line. It cleared the fence by a mile, but was obviously foul.
"No!"
Mickey Mullen screamed from the dugout.
"Don't you do it!"
The umpire tossed out a fresh ball. Mickey Jr. adjusted it in his glove and bit his lip. Glaring down at Josh, he wound up and threw another pitch down the middle with all the heat he could muster. It was a fastball that wasn't so fast. Josh got all of it, and the ball took off, clearing the fence by more than 100 feet. The crowd exploded, and as Josh circled the bases, he couldn't help noticing Mickey Jr.'s chin hit his chest, and he couldn't help feeling bad for the opposing pitcher, knowing his famous father would be enraged with him for going against his wishes and failing. To his credit, Mickey Mullen shook his head, clapped his hands at his son, and shouted for him to forget about it. The father shouted that if Mickey Jr. put down two more batters, the inning would be over. They could take it into extra innings and win it anyway. Mickey Jr. took heart. He put the next Titans batter down with just 4 pitches, the last one a fastball that showed some life. All eyes in the stadium went to the Titans batter circle, where Benji stood with his jaw hanging slack. Josh put a hand on Benji's arm, and his dad put his hand on the other. Benji trembled and gulped like a fish in the bottom of a boat. "Hey," Josh said, "Batman and Robin. Heavy hitter, right? That's you. You can do this."
"Benji," Josh's dad said, leaning over so he was eye level with Josh's best friend. "I know why you call yourself a heavy hitter all the time. I know you don't really believe that about yourself, but that's okay, because every good ball player grows up. They take the step between being a kid and a young man. It happens. Sometimes it happens when no one's looking. For you, it's going to happen right here, right now, with all these people watching and with thousands of others checking you out on TV."
"Don't you mean millions?" Benji asked with a weak smile.
"It's ESPN4, Josh's dad said, grinning. "Don't get that excited. This is it, though. Trust me, Benji. His arm is worn down, and you're putting this out of the park."
"Good luck, buddy," Josh said. Benji staggered toward the plate, muttering to himself.
"What's he saying?" Josh's dad asked him.
"He's saying heavy hitter, Dad," Josh said. Then he crossed his fingers for luck. Benji dusted off his hands and spit into his glove. He held up one hand and stepped into the batter's box. The first pitch came fast and inside. Benji swung for the fences and fouled it off the handle of his bat.
"You're making contact," Josh's dad shouted.
"Get him, Benji,"
Jaden shouted. Josh bit his lip. The next pitch came fast down the middle. Benji swung so hard he spun himself into the dirt. The ball smacked the catcher's mitt, and the catcher tossed it back to Mickey Jr., who fought back a smile.
"Oh, brother,"
Jaden said, moaning to Josh and clenching his arm in her grip.
"An 0-2 count."
"Believe," Josh said in a whisper. Mickey Jr. looked at his dad, who signaled something. Then he took a deep breath, wound up and threw a fastball too high to be a strike. Benji reared back and swung. Chapter 58. Josh felt the moan escape him, but Benji, off balance and reaching for the sky with his bat, connected. Crack! The ball took off like an airplane, climbing higher as it went, arcing over the right fielder's head and dropping toward the fence. Benji took off. Everyone screamed. When the ball hit the fence with a clang, Josh felt Jaden's fingers dig straight down to his bone. The ball popped up and fell, and none of them could tell if it was inside or outside the fence. Benji ran for all he was worth, his foot smacking the second base bag. The right fielder sprinted toward the fence, reaching for the ball like it was still in play. Benji was halfway to third with his back to the outfielder and already slowing down, extending his arms to receive the cheers of the crowd. The outfielder threw his shoulder into the fence and reached down, springing back out onto the grass with the recoil of the metal mesh and cranking back his arm to make a throw. Benji rounded third and, even though he disavowed the player of his steroid use, tipped off his batting helmet like Manny Ramirez, arms still out, loving the applause and hamming it up for the TV cameras. Josh and his dad and the entire Titans team screamed for Benji to run. Benji turned his head and saw the right fielder launch the ball. His face dropped in complete shock, but instead of freezing, Benji clenched his jaw and took off. He put his head down, churning forward, fighting for top speed to beat the throw. Jaden chewed on a knuckle and said,
"He'll never make it."
Chapter 59. The ball hit the grass just inside the infield dirt and bounced toward home plate. The catcher had to step to his left a few feet up the baseline. Benji and the ball raced for the same spot. The catcher caught the ball on a bounce with a smack, pinning it with both hands into the pocket of the mitt and turning to tag Benji. Benji's face contorted with momentary horror. Then he snarled and dipped his shoulder and plowed straight through the catcher. His shoulder caught the catcher in the chest and he drove upward. The catcher flew into the air, twisting as he fell. Benji lost his balance and fell forward, his hand smacking home plate. The catcher landed with a thud, his mitt extended out to the side to preserve his hold on the ball. But when the glove hit the dirt, the ball dribbled out. The umpire leaned over and dipped his masked face toward the loose ball before slashing his arm sideways through the air.
Safe!
The Titans spilled from the dugout, swarming Benji at the plate, but their teammate lay face down, flat and unmoving with his arms extended. As they circled around him, the team went silent and the crowd grew quiet.
"Is he okay?" Jaden said.
Benji suddenly jerked his arms in and began pumping out sloppy push-ups over the top of home plate, counting them with a sagging bow in his back that would have embarrassed even a nerd in gym class. After flopping out 10 push-ups, Benji sprang to his feet and held his arms wide for the crowd, which erupted into ear-splitting cheers. The team mauled Benji, raising him up as he grinned and bowed his head over and over. In the tumult, Josh became aware of the heavy thud of helicopter blades. Before the Titans even settled down, the helicopter dropped from the sky and landed in a whirl of dust in the middle of the outfield. Mickey Mullen had his son by the collar, and he half-guided, half-dragged him toward the thundering aircraft. As Josh and Jaden watched, Mickey Jr. escaped his dad's grip and headed toward second base. The Mick didn't even look back. He trudged for the helicopter on his own, signaling with a wave of his hand for his son to follow. But Mickey Jr. kept coming, so Josh and Jaden walked out to meet him. To Jaden, Mickey Jr. winked and said, "Thanks for all the nice things you wrote about me. My money's on you to get that Pulitzer one day. It's been fun." Then Mickey Jr. pointed at Josh and said, "You won this one, but next time it'll be different." Then Mickey Jr. turned and ran for the helicopter. He hopped in, the door closed, and the helicopter rose, lifting straight up before tilting its nose and heading south.
"You did it,"
Jaden said, giving Josh a hug.
"And Benji," Josh said.
She nodded and said, "And Benji." Josh looked at her, studying the golden flecks in her green eyes, looking for something, care, friendship, respect, and finding it.
"He didn't have to throw to me," Josh said, adjusting his cap to shield his eyes from the sun so he could follow the path of the helicopter as it took off into the wind. "His dad wanted him to walk me, but he threw a good pitch anyway. He wanted to test himself," she said, "and from what he just said, I'm guessing that he figures your paths will cross again. It's what you wanted, right? What your dad said you needed to make you great. I told you all you had to do was be you, and it would happen."
Josh looked her in the eyes and said, "I am looking forward to facing him again." Still smiling, she nodded toward the helicopter growing smaller in the sky and said,
"Right. It's what you said you needed to be great. A baseball rival."
This recording of Rivals by Tim Green was produced and directed by Daniel Bostic and read by Tim Green. It was recorded at Full Cast Audio Studios and engineered by Todd Hoban and Brett Hoban. David Baker was the production assistant. Editing, mixing, and mastering by Lunar Sound. We hope you've enjoyed this program from Harper Audio. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.